Well, last week we looked at the final piece of spiritual armor, and that was the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we talked about how important it is to study the Word of God, both privately as well as corporately in worship. We looked at how the words of God are compelling and convicting and converting, but also consoling. And we talked about how we can wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, practically by knowing our enemy. We talked about it in response to our evangelism efforts to strengthen fellow believers against our own sin and temptation, to strengthen our own faith and in worship. Today we're going to conclude Ephesians 6 by looking at the importance of prayer. And I want to kind of set the stage for what I hope to happen the next couple of weeks, Lord willing. So we've been in this topic of spiritual warfare since September. I'm hoping to conclude it next week by doing just an overview of the last 6 months and also allowing time for discussion about some practical things maybe that you've learned and things that the Lord has taught you through this study. In 2 weeks, I'm hoping to begin a study on the Lord's Prayer, specifically the petitions that are found in the Lord's Prayer. And that'll be about a 10 or 12 week study. That'll take us through the end of May. So that's kind of where we're headed the next couple of months. But if you have your Bibles today, turn with me to Ephesians 6 and follow along. We're going to begin in reading in verse 13 and then read through verse 18. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Verse 18 has all in it four times. It's a big word in that particular verse. So let's look at this. We want to look at the importance of prayer, which we see, of course, many verses on prayer throughout all of Scripture. If we've referenced William Gurnall's book on spiritual warfare a few times in this class, it's not a short book. It's 1,200 pages on spiritual warfare. But he devotes 300 of the 1,200 pages to prayer. 25% of the book on spiritual warfare is devoted to prayer. It's important to look at this topic in light of spiritual warfare. Now, some have been led to believe, and you can look it up online, you see this. Some have been led to believe that praying at all times in the Spirit, what we see in verse 18, is actually a seventh piece of spiritual armor. But this is not a correct interpretation of Scripture. There are distinctly six pieces of armor that we've discussed already, but those pieces of armor are made effective through prayer. Joel Beakey explains, prayer is critical because every piece of Christian armor is useless without it. Prayer is like oil. Just as every part of an engine is useless without oil, so every part of Christian warfare is vain without prayer. Fighting Satan without prayer is like David fighting Goliath in Saul's armor. The armor doesn't fit, and it's ineffective against the blows of the enemy. So prayer is not a seventh piece of spiritual armor. Prayer is what makes the six pieces of armor effective and employs God's help and strength in order for us to stand against our adversary, the devil. Well, I want to look at this kind of phrase by phrase today as we look at verse 18 under five headings. We're going to look at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, persevere, and pray for others. Let's first of all look at this phrase, praying at all times. Now, to be sure, Paul is not saying that there's nothing else in life to do but pray. And we're to be praying all the time, 24/7. I mean, Jesus didn't even do this while he was on earth. But there are two ways to look at this. First of all, we should have an attitude of prayer. We should have an attitude of prayer. Of course, we see this exhortation given in other parts of Scripture as well. In Philippians 4:6, we read, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Again, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, a short verse but powerful, pray without ceasing. So our attitude should be that of prayer. Secondly, the phrase all times could be translated to mean in all instances. In other words, we should take every opportunity to pray on all occasions. Now, this begs the question, when do we pray? We, of course, pray when we come to corporate worship. But when do you pray in your homes? Is it just around mealtime? Is it just when you sit down and have personal worship or family worship? Or are you praying throughout the day? In your homes, while on vacation, at work, when visiting friends and family members. Boyce writes rather poignantly, there should be no situations in life from which prayers to God are absent. So while we don't pray all the time, we do pray in all instances, in all occasions, taking opportunity to do so. Well, what does it mean to pray? The second phrase here is in the Spirit. In this small phrase, Paul is pointing to the sheer magnitude of the power of prayer that we have, particularly the help given to us by Christ through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Other passages will speak to praying in the Spirit. We see in Jude 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, it is true, we don't always know what to pray. But it is also true that the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. And in Romans 8:15-17, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. What does this have to do with prayer? Well, it means that because of these verses that we see in Scripture, that we have assurance as we approach the throne of grace as the children of the Most High. And the Spirit is interceding for us and even bears witness to the fact that we are God's children. Let me just offer an analogy that some of y'all may be able to relate to. I remember well, of course I've got a picture, so that helps me remember, but when I was a little boy, probably 6-7 years old, I remember being on my grandfather's pontoon boat, and I was sitting in his lap and driving. Of course, my hands were on the steering wheel. But where do you think his hands were? They were also right there. And so if I had been left alone to my own devices at 6-7 years old and driving that boat, there's no telling where we would have ended up, right? But my grandfather was helping guide and helping steer the boat so that we would be safe. Well, in the same manner, the Holy Spirit helps lead and guide us in our prayers. Because we pray in the Spirit, there's also great power in prayer. James writes, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. James 5:16. Now, why is there great power in prayer? Because you're praying. When you are praying to the God of the universe, who controls all things, ordains all things, orchestrates all things to the praise and glory of His wondrous name. And because of the Holy Spirit interceding for us and even ministering to us through our prayers. This has great relevance today as we consider this underutilized, really secret weapon of prayer that we have in overcoming spiritual attack, sins, and temptations. There was a phrase used at General Assembly almost 3 years ago now. It was June of 2019. And the phrase was used by the progressives in our denomination. And they said, we can't pray the gay away. And what's our response to that? They're wrong, right? Why are they wrong? Well, first of all, as Christians, we have been justified, right? And we are being sanctified. So to say that you can't pray whatever it is, whatever sin you're struggling with, to say you can't pray that particular sin away is denying the very power of God. And secondly, it's denying His continued work in your life through progressive sanctification, where He is making us all more fit for heaven as we counter the attacks of the evil one and we say no to sin. So there is power in prayer. as we pray in the Spirit and by the help of the Spirit. You know, if we say that sin cannot be prayed away, then what hope do we really even have in prayer? I would assert that any sin can be prayed away because we serve a powerful God, and nothing is impossible with God, and He is eager to sanctify His elect. Prayer is living and active, powerful, and life-changing. Let's just pause for a minute, have some class discussion, not around your tables, but just openly in the class. Think about this. In terms of the power of prayer and praying in the Spirit, how many of you have seen prayer work in a situation that seemed otherwise hopeless? How many of y'all have seen that and want to share? Okay, a lot of hands. So maybe a couple of you share. Who wants to share? Yeah, Sylvia. Jerry Lynn.
Sean and I can tell you countless of stories in our marriage where we've seen God actively at work in surprising ways. But the incident that really jumps to my heart whenever I think about the power of prayer is sometimes just the peace it gives you, truly the peace that transcends understanding at a time where it should not be peaceful. And I know several of y'all have heard this story before, but when my mother was in the hospital in the summer of 2020 and we could not be with her, and she was on life support, but because of COVID restrictions, we could not be with her for 10 days. That should have, and it was, I'm not going to lie, it was stressful, but there was an underlying peace that I just literally could not understand or explain. And then, obviously, she went on to pass away, but I don't know how to explain it, to have something that devastating taking place simultaneously with the level of peace that this is all in God's hands. Mm-hmm. And I think that only comes from the prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Indeed. Good. Anybody else? Yeah, Mark.
Yeah, just the power of prayer to change me. I mean, that's such a big pull of all. In this case, reconciliation with my oldest brother, and Billy had reached out to the middle brother, who has terminal cancer, and to be a support to him. Yeah, and that was through prayer and submission and obedience. That wouldn't have happened without prayer.
So prayer, and we can say this, and we'll talk about this in a minute. Does prayer ever change God? No, He can't be changed. But God, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, will often change us through prayer and cause us to reach out to people that we wouldn't have otherwise, or to help restore relationships. And He certainly, as we submit to His will, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, through our prayers, will give us a peace that surpasses all understanding. He certainly will do that. Well, thirdly, let's move on to the next phrase in Ephesians 6:18. With all prayer and supplication. Now, this simply means all kinds of prayers and requests. There are many examples of prayers to pray. Of course, Jesus teaches us how to pray in the Lord's Prayer. We see this in Matthew 6, Luke 11. This is the perfect example of prayer. And this is partly why, as we're ending our study on spiritual warfare on prayer, this is why I want to continue in the topic of prayer and why we'll be diving into the Lord's Prayer over the next couple of weeks. Certainly one could also use, as you probably have heard, the acrostic, the acts in prayers. I love this pattern of prayer that follows that acrostic because it doesn't begin with me, but it begins with God. Boyce points out that the different letters could actually stand for different kinds of prayer. Thus, the meaning of this verse, with all prayer and supplication. Now, you all are members of the Acts community, right? So probably shouldn't have to remind y'all of what this acrostic stands for, but let's go through it. So the A stands for adoration, and this is where we start, with praising God for who He is, for what He has done, for what He's doing, for what He will continue to do. A couple years ago, we did a long study on the attributes of God. This is a very fitting place in our prayers to pray back the attributes of God, thanking God for who He is. The C stands for confession and involves us confessing our sins before God. This is also the place not only to ask God to forgive you your sins, but also to reveal to you, hold on to this, any unconfessed sin. And if you pray that prayer, the Lord is faithful in all of our prayers, right? But He will reveal unconfessed sin to you. He has in my life. The Lord is certainly faithful, will reveal it so that you might confess these sins as well and seek by the Holy Spirit's help to mortify them. The T stands for thanksgiving. Could be the third kind of prayer. We're always quick to ask God for things, but let's not be so quick to do this without, first of all, just slowing down and thanking Him for His forgiveness and for His blessings. And finally, the S stands for supplication. And this is where our requests come in at the end. Boyce writes, "Our prayer life will be poor if this is the supplication part, if this is all we do, but it will also be less than it can be if we do not ask God for what we want and lay our needs before Him." Certainly, prayer is more than just asking requests of the Lord. It's an act of worship, and its goal is multifaceted for the believer. Not neglecting adoration, confession, and thanksgiving, but let us pray for healing, for relief of sickness, for good work, for income to provide for our families, for our children's and grandchildren's salvation, for good health, for the church to thrive, for other needs. This is what this kind of prayer involves. Well, we've discussed thus far the importance of praying at all times, praying in the Spirit, finally with all prayer and supplication. Let's continue and discuss the next part of the verse 18. Keep alert with all perseverance. This is the third use of the word all in our text today. And it involves being watchful and not giving up on prayer. Jesus reminded His closest disciples, you know the story in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Matthew 26:41. And what did the disciples do? They fell asleep. Pastor Phillips writes, "Alertness is one of the essential qualities of a soldier. When standing watch, to fall asleep at one's post is a court-martial offense. The stakes are just as high when our own faithfulness and the needs of others require us to be alert in prayer. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong," 1 Corinthians 16:13. Indeed, the Christian is to be alert in all of life, not just in prayer. Peter warned about this, and we've seen this verse several times throughout our study on spiritual warfare, 1 Peter 5:8. "Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." So let's be alert in prayer in our lives that we may be able to withstand the attacks of the evil one. In our weakness, do we not tend to leave prayer as a last resort or see it as a mere possibility rather than a priority? Do we think little of its power? Well, if we do, I would suggest humbly that we are a sitting duck for the enemy, exposed without armor, acting in our own strength, ignorant of our greatest weapon and need, that being prayer. So we need to pray. Let's pray and pray again and pray more. Well, this verse not only mentions alertness, but also perseverance. Let us not give up in praying for others. Praying in the long haul, for example, for salvation to those who are unbelievers. We've talked about, but we can touch on it here too, that God doesn't change because of our prayers, but He will often change us. I remember during times of prayer in the past, praising God and asking Him for something, and I leave that time feeling encouraged in my faith, feeling closer to God and being willing to submit to whatever that prayer may lead to. So let's continue in that great privilege of prayer. Finally, the last part of this verse, making supplication for all the saints. I wonder how many of us are naturally given to this. It's easy to utter prayers for ourselves in our busy schedules. but it's hard to pray for others at times and to remember to pray for others. This part, making supplication for all the saints, this involves praying for those in our class, in our church, for our denomination, for our missionaries, for the persecuted church, for widows, single moms, young parents, children, teenagers, all the saints. Prayer is the greatest gift you can actually give to your children and fellow man. John MacArthur once wrote, "The greatest things we can do for another believer or that he can do for us is to pray." That's the way the body of Christ grows spiritually as well as in love. You know, we have an intercessor that's published every week in our church. Let's take that and pray through that each week, praying for the needs of the body. Let's also be in fervent prayer for our elders and deacons and church staff and pastors. Martin Luther once wrote to his close friend, "I sit here at ease, hardened and unfeeling, alas, praying little, grieving little for the church of God, burning rather in the fierce fires of my untamed flesh. It comes to this, I should be a fire in the spirit, but in reality, I should be a fire in the spirit, but in reality, I am a fire in the flesh. With lust, laziness, idleness, and sleepiness, it is perhaps because you have all ceased praying for me that God has turned away from me. For the last 8 days, I have written nothing, nor prayer, nor studied, partly from self-indulgence, partly from another vexatious physical handicap. I really cannot stand it any longer. Pray for me, I beg you, for in my seclusion, here I am submerged in sins." That's rather direct, isn't it? But you notice, he feels like that maybe, perhaps, the prayers of the people have stopped, which has caused God to turn away from him. It's interesting. It just gives importance. It tells us the importance that we need to be praying for our pastors because they endure these spiritual attacks, just as we do. So let's uphold them in prayer. Let us indeed pray, as we conclude, pray much in all occasions with the help of the Holy Spirit, persevering, being alert, and praying for each other, praying for all the saints. It's important for us to consider. Well, let's take a few minutes and do that now. What I'd like you to do is, around your tables, just pray for a few minutes. It may be particular needs around the table. It may be for our church staff and pastors. It may be for those that you know that are suffering. But if you can, each table, appoint a person to begin the prayer. And let's just pray around our tables for a few minutes, and then we'll finish out in prayer in just a couple minutes. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you and praise you that we can approach you through prayer, because of the mediatorial sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. For we who were once far off have now been brought close by the blood of Jesus Christ. And as such, we can approach you with all assurance, knowing that you hear our prayers. You've heard all the prayers that have just been uttered, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would answer them in accordance with your perfect and pleasing will. We pray, Lord, that you would draw us near to yourself through prayer. We pray, Lord, that we would be known as a praying people, that we would pray individually, that we would pray with our families, that we would pray in our workplaces and wherever we go, Father, taking the opportunity to pray on all occasions. Father, would you grow us up, even as a body of believers here at Second Presbyterian Church, because of prayer, that you would help us to pray fervently for one another, but also with one another when the opportunity comes up, even around the tables or in the hallways of the churches. Father, would we pray with each other? And Father, would you draw us near and teach us much through this great gift that you've given to us? Help us to do that in our homes and our workplaces this week. Draw us near to yourself through this great tool that you've given us. Help us not to forget its power, because we are praying to you and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.